Good morning. It is a blessing to be here this morning. I have to admit, when I was kind of come here, I said, you know what, there's a good possibility that I may be given the opportunity to share. So thank you, Brother James, for allowing me to be here this morning. The reason why I'm here in Bedford this morning basically is because there's a magnet that draws me to my brother Jeremiah Martin. So since I knew he was in this area and I'm in Pennsylvania for a couple weeks, I didn't make any commitment this Sunday morning so I could be here and visit with my brother Jeremiah and also say hi to several of the people that I know here. Brother James is one of them. I met him years ago here, and then I also shared with him in Honduras. So it's been a pleasure for me to be here this morning. I really enjoyed it. Got up early this morning. I enjoyed the drive here, and here I am. Let me ask you a question. I really enjoyed the devotion this morning and then the Sunday school lesson, which I think ties in very well with what God has placed in my heart. There's a chapter in the Bible that has really touched my heart this past year, and it's 2 Peter chapter 1. And I would like to share from 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning. There's certain attributes or characteristics that we should develop in our life, cultivate in our lives, to be able to live a victorious life. And if I would ask you all this morning, how many of you would love to live a victorious life? I would venture to say, you all would say, yes. But let me ask it a different way. How many are living a victorious life today? Well, this chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe Peter will give us some characteristics or attributes that we should apply to our life. And if we do apply them to our lives, I can guarantee you that you will live a victorious life. I asked my brother Jeremiah this morning, are you content? Maybe I shouldn't say what he told me, but he said, yes, he is. And I have to admit, I am content. I am content to be where I'm at this morning. But I'm also content the life that God has allowed me to live, especially since I turned my life around from darkness to light. I can share with my sister what she shared this morning. You know, we who were not born into this Christian life, who were born into the world, sometimes it is hard. But you know, once we put on the righteousness of God in our lives and learn to deny ourselves, then all of a sudden this Christian life becomes a joy. And I can share that. You know, if there's anything in my life that I can say, thank you, Father, for what you have given to me, is my level of faith. I don't have to see to believe. I just have to trust the Word of God. And I thank the Lord for that. Remember many years ago, my sister was diagnosed with cancer. She was in her last stages of her life here on earth. And I went to see her. I came up from Puerto Rico to see her. And we were sitting drinking coffee together and talking Bible. And I asked her this question. Sister, do you understand what you're reading? She says, brother, I don't have to understand. All I have to do is believe it. But you know, that was to me, I received it almost like a slap in my face, because what she said was so true. We have a problem in our daily Christian life. Do we really believe the Word of God? We say we do. Well, if we do, are we living the Word of God? So, 2 Peter chapter 1, I would like to start reading. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses and then I'm going to come back. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises,
that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged through his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do this thing, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to rest on the prayer of my brother Joe this morning. As I read that first verse, Simon Peter, a servant. If I would ask you this morning, how many of you consider yourself to be a servant of Jesus Christ? I would venture that the majority would say, I do. Let me ask you a question. How many of you consider yourself to be a slave of Jesus Christ? What happened to the hands? What happened? You know, when we look at that in Greek, servant is a slave. But many times when we think of the word slave, we think of the time of, here in the United States history, the slavery time. Let me just share a little story. There was a gentleman from Great Britain traveling through the United States during the slave period of time here in the United States. And he was traveling through the state of Louisiana, and he was going through the city of New Orleans. And as he was going to the city of New Orleans, he was a very wealthy man. He happened to go through the slave market. And on the platform, there was a young, beautiful slave girl. She was going to be auctioned off. And he kept looking at that young slave girl. She was a beautiful young lady. And all of a sudden, she heard several men talking. And they're saying, I'm going to buy that slave girl. And they started talking and saying everything they were going to do to her. You can let your mind wander what they were talking about. He was so indignant. He said, you know what? I'm going to buy that slave girl. He was just being a tourist. He had no intentions of even owning a slave. But when he heard those men talking of what they were going to do to this beautiful slave girl, he made up his mind, I'm going to save her. I'm going to buy her. When the auctioneer started off, they would bid and he would bid. They would bid and he would. The price kept going up, 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 and they kept bidding. Finally, he said to the auctioneer, I'll pay twice whatever they pay. The auctioneer sold it to him. He took the girl and he bought her some food. She spit on his face. What am I going to do this? I don't want to own a slave girl. So he took her out and bought her some clothing. And she spit on his face. He didn't know what to do with her. So finally, he sat down and wrote a letter giving her total freedom. He handed the letter to her and she spit on his face. What am I going to do with this? I don't want a slave girl. I just bought her to save her from those terrible man, what they were going to do to her. So he finally sat her down and started to explain what it means to be free. Little by little, she finally understood. And when she fully understood that she was free, she could come, she could go wherever she wanted to go, she knelt down on his feet, begged for forgiveness, and told him, I want to be a free slave to you the rest of my life. How many of us maybe have spit on the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Not literally, but figuratively speaking. Do we really fully understand what our Heavenly Father did for us through His Son, Jesus Christ? Do we fully understand what it means to be a truly born-again believer? That we can say, I want to live a life that pleases my Heavenly Father. Where we can say, I am a slave, a free slave, a bond slave. I can do whatever I want, but my desire is to please my Heavenly Father. There will be blessings. So I will ask you this morning, as we read this first verse of Peter, the second letter, chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us to the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If I would ask you this morning, do you have the same level of faith that Peter had? Who was Peter? He was the one, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ. Peter was so blessed. He had the opportunity of seeing Jesus transfigured. He saw the glory of God. He saw Peter speaking with Moses and Elijah. He heard the voice of God. It was that same Peter who was willing to die. I will never deny you. And he denied him 3 times. But it's the same Peter that Jesus gave him his final test. Peter, do you love me? Peter was a very impulsive individual. Sometimes he didn't think, he just spoke. That sounds like me sometimes. But you know what? Peter learned his lesson. 3 times Jesus asked him. First 2 times, Jesus asked him, do you agape me? Do you love me with God's love? And Peter would not, he humbled himself. Lord, I learned my lesson. I love you with that horizontal love, filial love. But the 3rd time, Jesus came down to Peter's level. In the Greek word of love, and Peter. And each time, Jesus gave Peter a responsibility, a labor to do. So we find Peter here saying, you know, I am a bond servant. I'm a slave. I'm an apostle. Is your faith this morning the same level of faith as Peter? There are many people today that would say, yes, my faith is the same level of faith as Peter. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. Our faith, if we're going to enjoy the same precious faith as Peter, it is only through the righteousness that we receive by God when we truly understand what God the Father did for us at Calvary. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that through Him we might be made what? The righteousness of God. There are many people today who believe that they are a born-again Christian, but their confidence is on what they do to maintain that righteousness. We can do nothing to attain the righteousness of God. We must truly believe what God the Father did for us at Calvary. And if we truly believe what He did for us and we receive Him as our Lord, as our Savior, and we're willing to be a slave of Jesus Christ, we are set apart. We live in this earth. We're going to have struggles. But because we're set apart, Peter tells us, my brothers and sisters, if we keep on reading, that we are so blessed. Someone came up and mentioned that there is like 30,000 plus or minus promises in the Bible. And Peter keeps telling us that we participate in the divinity of God. How is that? You know,
If we truly believe the word of God, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says that Jesus lives in our hearts by faith. And Jesus is God. And if He lives in us in spirit, we participate with what? With the divinity of God. That promise, my brothers and sisters, if we can truly grasp it and make it part of our life, we will live a victorious life. But Peter also says, my brothers, and I think this is where many, many fail today. You know, if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, we find that verse 3, we are so blessed. It says verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, are we really enjoying the blessings that God has given to us? If we truly, truly, truly believe that we were made righteous by the work at Calvary and continue to apply to that faith what Peter is going to teach us this morning, brothers, we can live a victorious life as a slave for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. See, many people today, I remember years ago up upstate New York, I had a conversation with a young Christian brother. He was just willing to slide into heaven. I believe there's many people today that are just willing to slide into heaven. I don't want to slide into heaven. I want to live a life that pleases God. I want to live a life that when I come to His throne, I have crowns that I can place at His feet. I'm not working for my salvation. I am working because I know that I'm saved and I want to do God's will in my life. Do I make mistakes? Oh, Brother James, unfortunately I do. But you know what? That Holy Spirit that lives within us as Christians ministers to us and we humble ourselves. Father, I have sinned. Please forgive me. And we continue to live a righteous life for God. So we have to add virtue to our faith. But what is virtue? How many of us are living a life of excellency that pleases God how we're living today? What is virtue? I believe that Peter might be referring to virtue in this context that we should cultivate a disposition in our life that we always want to do what is right. We want to know what is right, but how are we going to know what is right? Well, Peter says, to virtue, you have to add what? Knowledge. And knowledge will let us know what pleases our Heavenly Father. What does Romans chapter 12 verse 2 say? Be not conformed to this world. You know, it saddens my heart as I travel up and down the highways, in and out of the country. I just got back from Mexico, about a 5,000 mile trip. We drove. Many people, aren't you afraid to go to Mexico? No. Like the brother that accompanied me. Is he afraid? No. He says, don't go. It's trouble. I said, hey, I'm ready to go. We had no problem whatsoever, except I almost didn't get into Mexico. And then I almost didn't get back into the United States of America. Mexico has changed some of the laws. So if you go to Mexico, don't say you're going on a mission trip. Don't say you're going to go to preach. Because they're going to ask you for a letter from the consulate's office. And they're going to ask you for a letter of the church that's inviting you. So, where's your letter? I don't have a letter. Where's your letter from the consulate? I don't have. Well, I can't let you in. Wait a second. I've been here many, many, many times. Never had any problems. Then she gave us an orientation, almost three times the same orientation. And finally, the only way I can let you in is a tour. I'm not a tourist. Well, I can't let you in. But finally, she said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you in as a tourist, but I want you to know, I'm not a tourist. She left us in. Mexico just passed a law now. You can't go door to door knocking and pass out Christian literature. Things are changing in this world, my brothers.
And the U.S. is not far behind. But then when I came back into the United States, I crossed the bridge. I'm there at the immigration. And in my passport, kept paging and paging and paging and paging. She didn't know what to do with my passport. She finally called another officer over. What am I going to do with this guy? I guess I thought I was trafficking. I have so many stamps in and out of Mexico, in and out of Honduras, in and out of Guatemala. You know, I was at peace. Why? Because I know that I have done nothing wrong. Let him check what's going on. But my brothers, we have to live a life today. But we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But if we live today with the assurance that I am a born-again believer, I am going to keep adding to my faith virtue. I'm going to develop, cultivate that disposition to do what is always right. And in order to know what God, what is always right, I want to do what? I want to study. I want to know. I want to have knowledge of who God is and who Jesus is. And if I keep adding that knowledge to my disposition, to my faith, my brother, then I know. But you know what? Having all knowledge has no value if you don't put it into practice. So we have to add to our knowledge what? We have to add to our knowledge self-control. Uh-oh. How many of us, as we drive down the highway, sometimes we kind of lose our self-control? Or we're waiting in line. Like I was at a wedding yesterday, and I kind of missed the line for some of the benefits to some food to eat. And the guy said, "You can butt in line." No, I'm not going to butt in line. He gave me the permission, but you know, I just couldn't butt in line. I felt bad if I'm going to butt in line. I'm going to have that self-control, you know. What are they going to say? Whoa, there's a minister, right? No. You know, we have to add that knowledge that we receive by studying the Word of God. Knowledge of the Word will do what to our faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. You know, I've enjoyed being here this morning just listening. But you know what? When you read the Word of God, open your spiritual ears to listen God to speak to you. Faith will come. And as that faith becomes part of your life, that will help you to apply self-control in specific moments where you have to add. Control your actions. Control how you speak.
And then, brothers, what do we do with that self-control? We have to add to that self-control what? Patience.
Oh, you know, I hear so many people say, and I'm speaking about Christians, "I have no patience." I said, "You have no patience? Are you a Christian?" "Yes." "You mean the Holy Spirit is living within you?" "Yes." "And you have no patience?" I got a problem with that. You know why? Because if you have the Holy Spirit living within you, what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? One of them is what? Patience. So if you ask for patience, what's God going to give you? Moments of difficulties. So you can develop. But don't tell God, "God, I have no patience," because you do have it. You just have to cultivate it. And if you cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you will discover that you will become more of a loving person. And as you love, you will become what? More compassionate. You will become more patient. You will become more loved. People will see. I was asked this weekend by someone I never met before. He says, "Are you a born-again Christian?" I says, "Well, what do you see?" If I have to wear a sign that says, "I'm a born-again Christian," something is wrong. His wife said, "Yes, he is." She must have saw something.
My brother, you know, too many times we are like Martha. I was in Mexico, and we had a walk
up the mountain, very steep mountain, about 45 minutes to see a family that through phone they converted and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I want to do some follow-up. But you know, as we walked up through that mountain, there's the mother who accepted Christ by phone. There's the daughter who accepted Christ by phone. And I quickly made the comment, the daughter is a Mary and the mother was a Martha. Why? The daughter stayed sharing, talking with us while the mother went to prepare something to eat and something to drink. How many of us are a Mary and how many of us are a Martha? What Martha did was not wrong, but she lost out some blessings. But what was the problem with Martha? She allowed circumstances to affect what she was doing for Jesus. She went to do something for Jesus, but she eventually allowed the circumstance that surrounded her to control her emotion, to control her actions, and then she had to go, Jesus, tell Mary to help me. Ah, Martha, Martha, you're too occupied with material things. Mary has chosen the better part. What part have you chosen? You have virtue added to your faith. You have knowledge now added to your virtue. You have now self-control. But what good is that self-control if you don't apply it? And that's where you have to add to your self-control, patience. And that sometimes is not very easy. It's just like Moses, when he saw the Egyptians, what did he do? He reacted and he killed them. Moses, as one of the leaders from the palace, he could have called the attention to the Egyptian soldier, right? Called, reported him to the officer in charge, right? And took other means. No, I'm who I am, right? How many times do we allow the old man to resurface and take control rather than die to that old man and allow God, through that knowledge that we have attained of who God is, who Jesus is, allow now the Holy Spirit to start controlling our life. So now we've added patience. What does the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 40? We find that David happened to be in a very difficult place. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. How many of us have learned what Psalms 46:10 says? Be still and know that I am God. In those times of your life that you're going through, and you see no door open, you see no means of resolving the situation, are you willing and able to just wait on the Lord? That's hard. That's where the knowledge that you have and the trust that you have, that knowledge that you have is true, you will apply it to your life and you will wait on the Lord and He will open the door. He will allow you to see things that you could not see. So I encourage all this morning, my brothers, to look at this chapter 1 of 2 Peter and just take it verse by verse. And you will find that Peter has a lot to tell us of this different characteristics that we should add to our faith so that we can live a victorious life. So now we have patience added to our self-control. But now we have to add what? Piety or godliness to our life. When the world sees you, do they see whom? Do they see the world or do they see the church? Do they see Christ in you? Do they see God in you? Does remember many years ago, my father was in Puerto Rico. And he walked into the store, and it almost always reminds me of when the prophet came and pointed a finger to David and told a little story about a rich man, you know, who took a little goat, right, and from a poor man. My dad opened the door, and he walked in. He says, "I have walked the whole town of Calle looking for the church, and I haven't found it." You know, sometimes we're living in a day and age. We're trying to distinguish who is and who isn't. It's getting harder and harder to know who truly is the church, the body of Christ. There's a lot of confusion out there. But you know, people have to look at us and see Christ in us. How do they see Christ in us? Primarily by how we talk, how we act, how we dress, places that we patronize will have a tremendous input in how people will look at us. But you know something? Now that you are living a godly life, only because you have the knowledge, only because you added virtue, only because you added knowledge, only because you added self-control, only because you added patience, and now your life should be a life that pleases God. But you know what? Peter doesn't stop there. He said, now you have to add brotherly love to piety. Brotherly love? You know, too many times, we as Christians love whom? I just shared with a lady who lived in Pennsylvania. She used to get together with my sister and have Bible studies together, and she moved to Ohio 4 years ago. She's going to a church. She says, you know what? I want to come back to Pennsylvania, Lancaster. She's been in church 4 years, and she hasn't been able to penetrate. Why? Because they all have their little cliques. And she hasn't been able to penetrate. I had an appointment at 1:30, and I was late for the appointment because we got involved talking Bible. And she was just being thin. There's a lot of people out there, my brothers and sisters, who want to be fed. Who are looking for someone that they can relate to, they can associate with. And I have been in many, many churches, my brothers and sisters, where you walk in and you walk out, hardly anybody says anything to you. You want to know something? If you want to be a growing church, treat everybody like family. And if you treat everybody like family, they'll come back. They want to be loved. I enjoy coming here, my brother James. I'll tell you, I just enjoy it. But let me tell you a little story, right? Brotherly love, people should see God in us. A pastor wife of a minister, a friend of mine in Virginia, one night her car left her set. She had another speed in her car to kind of pull off the highway, and she was blocking the entrance and the exit to a local church, a huge church building. And the church was in service, a lot of cars. She was actually blocking the entrance exit. This is nighttime. She called her husband. He's on the way to rescue her. But in the meantime, the church service ended and everybody's leaving. And they had to maneuver their way around to get past her vehicle. Not a one individual stopped and asked her, "Do you need help?" Is that brotherly love? See, so many times we leave church and we already have a place to go. And we just don't take time to be what? A servant. My brothers, we as Christians, if we're going to live a victorious life, we have to be open to the Holy Spirit. We have to keep adding to our faith, virtue, that disposition to do what always is right. We have to be adding knowledge so we know what is right. We have to be adding self-control, be able to apply that knowledge to our daily life, that how we act, people will see that someone controls us. It's not man, but it's the Holy Spirit in our life controlling how we speak and how we act. We have to add that patience. Let people know we are willing to wait on the Lord. We're willing to rest. And we want to live a life that God reflects in us. The love of God reflects in us. That people can see God in our life. And then we have to what? Be willing to what? To show that brotherly love only to those who believe like I believe. No. Only to those who don't believe like we believe because we want to win them to Christ. No. We have to love everybody. Doesn't mean we have to agree with them. But how can we win someone to Christ if we're not a light and we're not a salt? Now, to be able to win someone for Christ, we better be standing on solid rock. Because in this day and age, in this country of ours that we live in, there are so many ministers today that the Bible is no longer the final authority. And then we wonder why our country is going downhill. Because there are those who are giving advice to our president who want to be more Bible. There are those who are giving advice to our president who are anti-Bible. And our president finds himself what? Trying to place the mass of the people. My brothers and sisters, we have to love everybody. As God loved us, we should love. But with what purpose? To allow them to see the true love of God in our life. That we can be like a magnet who draws them to us, to the God that we love, the true God. So now we have brotherly love added to our faith.
And Peter says we have to add love again. Peter says, verse 7, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, love. You know, we have to add to our life as a Christian God's love. And I would like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Where I believe Paul gives us a very good definition of what God's love is and should be. And as we read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through verse 8, I would ask each and every one of you to kind of evaluate your life. I have done this many times in my life, and there's still areas that I'm trying to improve and correct because I want people to see God in me. And before I read that, let me just share a little story. I'm sure most of you remember the story of the five missionaries that were killed in Ecuador by the Arca Indians many, many years ago. The father of one of those missionaries that was killed, one night praying, said to his Heavenly Father that he wants to live long enough that those Indians who killed their children can come to know Christ and that he can embrace them and tell them, I love you because you love the same Christ that I love. How many of us are also willing to love a love that forgives? That was his prayer. Willing to forgive. And to embrace them. And to tell them, I love you. Because you also love the same Jesus that I love. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. Paul gives us 16 characteristics of the definition of love. And I'm going to substitute the word love quite often. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love envies not. Love wanteth not. Love is not puffed up. Love doth not behave itself unseemingly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love rejoiceth in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. If you would have to evaluate yourself with that definition of what love is, how would you evaluate on those 16 characteristics of God's love? We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. The community that's around us, how do they see us? Are we lighting the way? Are we giving flavor to what it means to be a true born-again Christian? We're living in a day and age where the influence of the world is slowly, slowly penetrating into the church. And we're seeing so many biblical principles going by the wayside. Going by the wayside. The Bible is God's truth for us. We have a choice. We can either believe it, or we can either reject it. But the truth is that at the very end of our life, it's the Word that's going to judge us. So I would encourage all this morning to reread that chapter of 2 Peter chapter 1 and apply those attributes to our faith so that we can grow and live a victorious life. Because if we do, we will never fall. We will never allow the world to influence us, to dilute the truth of God's love for us. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this precious moment that you have given to me, that I can share here at this local church in Bedford. Thank you, Father, for just allowing me to be used by you to share truth from your word. May the truth shared, Father, may it be a blessing to all, so that we can continue to add to our faith, so that we can live a life to be the true light of the world, true salt of the earth, and that we can live a life, Father, that all we do is to bring honor and glory to you. I ask your blessing, Father, upon all of us today in a mighty and a special way. And may you receive all the honor and glory. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.